As you make your way back to your seats, let me begin by saying this. They're still greeting each other. It's a beautiful thing. As you get back to your seats, I want to begin by saying this, okay? Man, I have missed you, okay? I've missed you. 2 weeks ago, we were all together at our McKinley campus for Pentecost Sunday and Heart Check, which was a commitment Sunday. And it was all awesome, but I didn't see all of you there, and I missed you, okay? And I got to tell you, I did miss preaching. And with that said, I do hope that next time, okay, which is rare, but next time when all campuses come together for a service, I pray that you'll consider taking the 25-minute trip up to 219 to the service together, okay? Because I got to tell you, it was, and it always is, awesome. It's awesome for all of our campuses to come together and to live out what we say, okay, that we are what? We are one church with five campuses. In fact, was anybody there at that?
I was.
Yeah, what do you say? What did you think, right? It was awesome, right? It was awesome. But regardless, okay, I missed you. And then last week, it was a real blessing that my wife, my daughter, and I, we took a little road trip to Nashville for Memorial Day weekend. Well, JP and Marlo and the great team here led the service, which I heard was fantastic. But regardless, okay, once again, I missed you. So it is good to be back with you because I got to tell you, we have a very special community here, don't we? Amen? Amen. And speaking of having an awesome community and coming off Greet Neighbor, where it's very apparent that many of you enjoy conversating with one another, I want to let you know about a very cool opportunity that we have coming up in a couple Fridays, okay? And that's going to be an all-campus, everyone is invited from the Springville campus, campfire, okay? We're going to do that at the Springville Field and Stream from 6 to 9 on June 14th. I almost said the 19th. Just bring your own lawn chairs, bring your own non-alcoholic drinks. We're going to have a good time visiting with each other. We're hopefully going to have good weather, and we're going to also provide the s'more materials. But with that, what I want to do right now is I just want to pray as we begin this road trip series, okay? So please join me in that. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just again, we ask that you would speak to us in this moment, over these next few moments, as we dive into your word, Lord. May we be attentive, as Marlo prayed, with our hearts, our minds. Lord, may we worship you right now in this moment, and may we be open to what you have for us. We pray this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ, and the church said, amen. All right, so I somewhat recently realized that my family and I like road trips, okay? Now, as my kids were growing, we were very intentional to save and to take family vacations, but most of them, okay, largely due to time constraints, most of them we had to go by plane, okay, which is fine, but last summer and even last weekend, we took a road trip. Last summer, it was throughout the Northeast. We went to places like New Hampshire and Maine, and it was awesome. And then last week, like I said, we went to Nashville, and I like to drive, and we love to put the radio on, and we each take turns picking songs, like kind of playing DJ, if you will, and seeing the sights while singing our hearts out. Well, some of us, at least, me, I love to sing my heart out, okay, and apparently loudly, and a lot of times I mess up the words, which we all get a kick out of, but anyway, the time in the car is fun, right, and checking out new places along the way is fun. It is an adventure. And the reason that I bring this all up this morning, church, is because I truly believe that a road trip, okay, is an excellent illustration of a pretty big word, okay? And it is one that we don't hear enough in the church, but we should, okay? Because it is a major part of who you and I are, who we are in Christ. It is a major part of the gospel, the full gospel, okay? And that word is this, it's sanctification. Sanctification. Now, sanctification is also commonly referred to as what JP talked about last week, holiness, okay? And sanctification is referred to as such because it comes from a Latin word, sanctus, which means holiness. But for the purpose of this series, church, We're going to stick with the word sanctification. And we're going to stick with that word for the simple reason that, again, it is often an avoided word, okay? Because it can be complicated, but we're going to press into that, okay? We're going to grow. We're going to stretch a little bit in this series. Now, this concept, okay, of sanctification, it is to be set apart, okay? Set apart from the world and the culture around us, okay? In such a way that God can use us, you see. That he can use us as his tool to reach those that he loves, which is all humanity. Those who don't know him yet. And also, we can then be used as a tool to encourage those who do know him to keep getting to know God more through Christ. But how does sanctification have anything to do with a road trip? Well, that's a good question. But you see, it's not specifically sanctification that I want to talk about, but it is the journey, okay? The journey that we take, the journey that we take as Christ followers to get there, all right? That's what I want to talk about, because sanctification is a process. And just like any good road trip and how a road trip begins with preparation, so does sanctification. I mean, with a road trip, there is preparation, right? And then the traveling. And then the conversations along the way. And of course, the mile markers to identify just how far we've come. And then all of that is followed by the excitement of the trip itself, ultimately resulting in wanting to share it with others. So it is in this way, okay, the way of a journey that throughout this series that we're going to discuss the powerful truth of sanctification. Because you see, to become holy is a continual movement. It's a continual movement in that direction. So with that said, today we are going to focus on the several stages of sanctification, including what leads up to it, okay? And with that said, warning, okay? Can I warn you this morning? Warning, okay? Because we're going to cover many large words today. Words that can seem confusing. And to even make it a little more of a challenge, typically we as a church, we preach from one main anchoring text. However, in these first 2 weeks of the series, in order to encompass all that God's word has to say on the topic of sanctification and the journey of it, we're going to highlight like several different scriptures, okay? So with that said, to help us with those words a bit and I'll track, we gave you a handout. Hopefully you got this on the way in. If you didn't, you can grab one at the connection stand. But this is to help you visualize what we're going to be talking about. And you're going to be filling in this map as we go. And just know that on the front, it also has a daily reading plan for the weeks of this series, which I encourage you to do, okay? But with that, right now, I'm ready to jump right in. I hope you are too. I'm going to jump right in where the journey begins, which is with this. Prevenient grace. Prevenient grace. Now, as mentioned earlier, and as you likely know, any good road trip takes planning and it takes preparation. Things that are done in advance of the physical trip itself. I mean, for any of the trips that my family has taken, my wife, I gotta tell you, she's amazing. She spends an incredible amount of time, and I'm so thankful for it, but she spends an incredible amount of time planning and preparing. Things like how we're going to get there, you know, the route to get there, and maybe where we may stop along the way, what we may do, what we may see. And then when she whittles that down to some options, that's when she and I come together and we make the final plans. This takes a lot of time, okay? It takes a lot of attention. It takes a lot of intentionality. In other words, a plan is put into place before any sort of official decision to even enter the highway occurs. And so, track with me, in the context of sanctification, this is where, okay, the stage of prevenient grace comes in. And it happens where we start, where we begin, right where we are, maybe at home, which is why right now you can write in the words prevenient grace in the first space provided on the West Coast, okay? We are traveling west to east today. And so this prevenient grace, okay, it is a grace that comes before we claim to even be a believer or a follower in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, did you know this? He has been pursuing each and every one of us. He had or has been pursuing each and every one of you prior to our acceptance of him. And how can I say that? Well, look at with me and read with me Romans 8, 29 to 30. God's word says this. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Church, what this verse tells us is that we have all, okay? All humanity has been predestined by God himself to be in relationship with him. For the ground is level, you see, at the foot of the cross. The Lord has placed a plan in place to call and to justify and to glorify all of humanity to be in right relationship with him. Because you see, due to sin, we have all been separated from God. However, because of Jesus, we all have the ability to be united with him. And God's prevenient grace is the means by which he is trying to get our attention. It is the means by which he is trying to woo us to him. And a perfect confirmation of the presence and the reality of his prevenient grace is in what Jesus himself said. In Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, Jesus said, speaking of himself, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost. You see, God's sending of Christ is the pinnacle of his prevenient grace. The prevenient grace that he, God, extends to us, extends to you, extends to all of humanity. And if you haven't accepted Christ, I want you to just think about, okay, think about all of the ways. Think about all of the ways you have been protected and provided for in this life, especially all of the ways in which you have been protected and provided for, excuse me, but despite our stupidness, despite our sinful selves and all the jams that you somehow got out of to the extent of which you shouldn't have. Even before, think about these things, even before you became or become a believer in Christ, because that somehow, okay, of how you've been protected, that somehow of how you've been provided for, that somehow of how you've been freed from the jam, it has a name. And its name is prevenient grace, the grace of God through Christ, the grace of God because, you know what? He loves you. He loves all. That's the grace that goes before you. And sometimes, I just got to tell you, sometimes we just don't see it. Sometimes we just don't realize it. Sometimes we don't think about it. So think about it, would you? Think about it, because he has been working to woo you back to himself and even deeper to himself, and to place your faith in him and a growing faith in him. And I got to tell you, I have my own personal stories to tell about this thing, prevenient grace, nights that I shouldn't have made it through, okay, and situations that I shouldn't have gotten out of as cleanly as I did, but I did. I did, and in hindsight, I now see that it was him. It was him even before I was a believer, and I praise him for it today, and I hand my life over to him today, and day by day, largely because of it, and so should you. So should you. Now, it was a battle. I'm not going to lie. It was a battle because, like you, you know what? I'm stubborn. But he won me over. And I am so glad that I surrendered. I am so glad that I let him in. So in short, just know that Jesus has been pursuing all of creation for all of eternity, and he ultimately came down to earth in the pursuit of each one of us because the Lord, he was planning all along, like our pre-trip planning, to save his children, to save you from the curse of sin by sending his son. This is the beautiful reality of prevenient grace. But right now, moving along in our road trip analogy, after we plan the trip, we decide it's time to go, right? So we pack up and we get in the van or whatever jalopy you drive, and we hop on the highway, right? And at this point, the journey has officially begun. And we are 100% intent on reaching the destination, right? And in these beginning stages of the trip, it is in them that we can shine a light in the official choice we make of salvation. And this is where saving grace comes into the picture. In fact, you can write that in the next destination on your map. Now, we believe in our Wesleyan theology because of the scripture's testimony, okay, that three things happen simultaneously when we consciously choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And all of this happens when the rubber meets the road, okay? In other words, when the jalopy hits the highway and when there is now no turning back. And I want to briefly describe these three transactions because that's what they are that take place. And the first is this, justification. Justification. Go ahead, write that on your map in the first box under saving grace. You see, it is in the moment of salvation that we are pardoned and we are set free. We are justified from the eternal consequences of all of our sin. Condemnation to hell. We are freed from that in this moment. Now, we may have to live with some earthly consequences, right? But they don't crush us, you see. They don't crush us with no hope because eternally we are forgiven in this moment. And this justification, it happens by faith alone, not by our actions. And it is in this very moment when we are released from all the guilt and all the penalty from sins committed before a holy and a just God. Wrap your head around that. Now, a beautiful picture of this in Scripture is where Paul is preaching in Antioch. And in Acts 13, verse 38 to 39, he says this. Brothers, listen. Listen. We are here to proclaim that through this man, through Jesus, there is forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is declared what, church? What does it say? Right with God. Something the law of Moses could never do. You see, the law of Moses couldn't do it because it was all about what the Israelites did or did not do, right? Which didn't reflect the heart posture nearly as much as what Paul is explaining here or what God is after. So it's not about, hear me, it's not about what you or I did or didn't do or do or don't do. It's about what Christ did. It's about our faith in that, in what Christ did. So that's justification. And simultaneously, through God's saving grace, we experience another word. And that word is regeneration. Regeneration. This is the new life given, which is where we often hear the term born again. You've probably heard of that. At the moment of our acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior, our old life, your old life, is gone. And we have a new life. A new life. And it is one freed from the bondage to sin. And I got to ask you this morning, if you're a believer in Christ, do you live in the freedom of this new life? You got to wrestle with that, brother and sister. Do you live in the freedom? Because at this moment, the moment of saving grace, we are enabled, okay, to consciously serve God with our heart, serve God with our intentions. And the gospel writer, he clearly proclaims this truth. In John 1, verses 12 to 13, when he says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. and they are born with not a physical birth resulting from a human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. That's yours in Christ. That's yours. So go ahead and write regeneration in the second place under saving grace. And then the third transaction under saving grace is this: adoption. Adoption. That goes in the third spot under saving grace. Because it is in this moment that you become a child of the one true living God. We become heirs, you see. We become partakers in all the rights, all the privileges, and mind you, all of the responsibilities of a child of God too, which is getting us closer to sanctification. In fact, Paul proclaims this truth as he speaks to the people in Ephesus. Ephesus chapter 1, starting in verse 5, says this: God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. Isn't that encouraging? He wanted us to bring us to himself, into his family. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He pleasures in you. He loves you. Now, besides a statement of our clear adoption in this verse, we're also reminded of God's prevenient grace, aren't we? As God stated that, or as Paul states, God decided in what? What did he say? In advance, right? God decided in advance to do this. Now, I'm not proposing to relate each of these three moments in our road trip analogy, but my point is this, church, that all of this, okay, these three occur simultaneously when we receive Jesus Christ into our hearts by surrendering to him through our proclaimed belief in him. Those are the transactions that happen. So in our analogy, this really occurs at the moment that we enter the highway by recognizing and confessing and receiving the prevenient grace that he has bestowed upon us up to this point, and the pinnacle, again, of which his prevenient grace is demonstrated in and through Christ. So with all that, we've now what? We've entered the highway, okay? And now the journey really begins. And the road, as you and I know, it's wrought with things like obstacles, right? Smooth spots, detours, weather, all sorts of adventure that seem to be waiting around each and every corner. So how does this all relate to sanctification? Well, according to Scripture, okay, in our Wesleyan theology, which is completely scripturally derived and driven, sanctification is realized in three different stages. And I'm going to be the first to admit that many scholars, many theologians, they have varying views on how fast this all can occur. But that is why a road trip analogy works so well, in my opinion. Because all three stages take place, and that is up to the Holy Spirit of God and how we participate with that Spirit. That's what determines really how fast they occur. So the first stage is this: initial sanctification. You can go ahead and write that at the next stop on your map. And this moment of sanctification, it really happens simultaneously with the previous transactions that we just talked about, okay? But to keep in line with all that we've been talking about, you know, I wanted to keep it in its own spot on the map, but this is really, while profound, it's pretty simple, okay, to wrap your head around. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, the initial process of sanctification begins, where we are seen by God, you see, as Christ. We're seen by God as Christ through our justification, through our regeneration, and through our adoption. But it is at this next stage of sanctification where most Christians spend the majority of their lives, okay? Thus, in our road trip, this is the bulk of the trip. And thus, we'll make up most of the series and those detours, okay, and those obstacles and those accidents and even maybe the restroom stops. When that all happens, and this period is the next one, okay, the progressive sanctification. That's where we spend most of our life. So you can go ahead and write that on your map in the next spot. Now, with those words, progressive sanctification, it is in these moments of a journey in which the grace of God, it helps us to grow now. It helps us to grow in our maturity as Christians. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 2, Paul talks about it as moving from milk to meat, as he states this. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. And then Paul, he continues by saying this. He says that they are fighting like children, but that their catalyst for growth is a continuing surrender to the Lord, okay? Look at it in verses 6 to 7. It says this, I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed of saving grace and initial sanctification grow. God makes that grow. So what did the Holy Spirit through Paul state as important? You should know it, that God makes the seed grow, right? In other words, he is stating that once we experience the gift of salvation, the Lord wants us to grow in maturity, but that growth, it comes from God as we walk in relationship with him. And I'm sorry, but listen, some of us may have taken the step of salvation, receiving saving grace, in other words, but we haven't surrendered our growth, meaning that we may think that we grow by doing all the right things, but growth, listen to me, growth comes from God, which again, it is this process, you see, of progressive sanctification that we could spend an enormous amount of time on, okay? In fact, over the next few weeks, we will spend our significant amount of time here and on different portions of our life that this occurs in during that phase. But for this week, let's just keep moving to get the overview and the big picture, okay? Let's identify the next stage of sanctification, which is referred to as entire sanctification, which may freak you right out. Entire sanctification. You can fill that in on your map right now. Now, again, entire sanctification, it may freak you out. It's been a hot topic among theologians and scholars throughout time, but I got to tell you, it's found in the Bible. One simple verse when Jesus is speaking during the Sermon on the Mount is this. He says this, you are perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And some translations implore us to actually be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But how in the world, right? How in the world am I to be perfect in a fallen and a broken world? Well, church, this is where grace comes in. It comes in once again, and it comes in more than ever, because this perfection, this entire sanctification, it occurs, you see, as we move into deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord. And it is when Jesus becomes more than just our Savior, but our Lord, okay? Our Lord with a capital L. It is when Jesus becomes Lord over things like, I don't know, my mind, Lord over things like my mind, my desires, my motives, my finances, my emotions even. Lord, in fact, over my everything. That's entire sanctification. When he is Lord over my everything. It happens, you see, when Jesus has full rights over the all of your and my life, which may still be difficult to wrap our minds around, okay? So this is how I manage entire sanctification in my finite mind. Our Heavenly Father, okay, sees us. He sees you through the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, that's how he sees you. And because of this, because of Christ, in other words, we are made perfect. And once we fully and entirely surrender to that truth and seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, it is then that I believe that we have reached the point of being entirely sanctified. But as soon as we've claimed it, we've probably broached it, okay? Because what's right there? Pride is right there, isn't it? because there is always continued growth, right? There is continued growth in following. It's still a movement. It's still a journey. We still have room to become closer and closer to God, closer and closer to Christ's likeness. But it is when we are all in. Can you say all in? It's when we are all in for that. And coming back to our road trip analogy, entire sanctification is the moment, okay, where we determine that no matter what happens on the trip, I'm not turning back from the Lord. And I'm not turning back from his ways. We could blow a tire. We could be robbed. We could have an accident. Whatever it may be, church, but we are still committed. Committed to and determined to keep journeying toward and reaching our final destination. And nothing will stop us. Which is a mindset that I think very few of us as Christians, myself included, have or would come to, even in the greatest of road trips. I mean, if we end up totaling the car, okay, we are probably going to head home and count our losses, right? But not in this entire sanctification mindset. Not in this scenario. We won't do that. We'll keep marching forward for the Lord. Because no matter the struggle, okay? No matter the detour, we are intent on ending up at our destination. We're intent, we're determined, we've decided. Now we're going to talk more specifically about that growth in the fourth week of the series. But when we come to this moment of no turning back with or on the Lord, that is a moment that's often referred to as the crisis of entire sanctification. Which leads us right into the final point, okay, of the journey of sanctification, which is this, glorification. You go ahead and write that on your map. However, quickly, before we jump into glorification, it's important to note something, okay? It's important to note that not all will experience entire sanctification. But it's important to note it's not a prerequisite, praise God, for glorification. It is not a prerequisite for salvation. It is not a prerequisite for heaven. But entire sanctification is something that we are all hopefully aspiring to love our God back for all he's done. But now for glorification. Now that sounds like an exciting word, right? And in our road trip, this is beyond the conclusion of our journey, this side of heaven, okay? Because this is our ultimate, this is our final destination. And it is at this point that there is nothing that can stop us from reaching it. No obstacles, no detours, no roadblocks, because we're there. We're there in the very presence of the Lord. Because you see, glorification, that occurs at death. When we are united with our perfect self in a perfect place with our perfect heavenly Father, the way that he originally intended it. Listen to Paul speaking to the Corinthians then and to us today. 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 38. But someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a foolish question. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. Then God gives it the new body he wants it to have. A different plant grows from each kind of seed. So church, it comes down to this reality, okay? Salvation is about wholeness. It's about wholeness. Throughout all aspects of your and my life. Meaning salvation is not just saving us from damnation in hell in the next life, but it is allowing us to live in the reality of heaven in this life, here and now. That is the full gospel. That's it. Listen, the Lord has an incredible plan laid out for each one of us. And it was one far before we were even born. And this plan, it unfolds in stages. And this plan, it occurs in a journey that sometimes can be messy. And only the Lord knows himself how fast or how slow that journey may be for each one of us. And some of us may reach points on the map at different times and our destination quicker than others. But listen, as followers of Christ, we can be assured, okay, that there is no final destination here on earth as we are called to continually grow into the likeness of Christ, continually move forward, and our final destination occurs as we enter into eternity. And we will stand face to face with the Savior of the world. And so with all that this morning, my questions for us all this morning are this. One, have you even entered the highway yet? Have you even entered the highway yet? Meaning, have you surrendered to Jesus Christ as Savior? If not, accept him. Accept him for salvation. Accept him for his saving grace. And two, if you have done that, are you continuing to journey with him? Because as JP said so well last week, salvation shouldn't be our landing point, but a point to grow from. Which, you know what that takes? That takes surrender. It takes further and further and deeper surrender. And I get it. I get it. The idea of fully surrendering your life to Jesus, that may scare you, okay? But it doesn't have to. You're surrendering your life to something. Something. Someone. The thought of surrendering to Jesus doesn't have to scare you. And you know what, Jesus, it's beautiful because he doesn't expect us to enter a relationship with him already in a perfect form. That's what this whole process is about. Rather, he wants to protect you along the highway. He wants to perfect you along the highway, along the journey, as you move throughout this life following him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And listen, you don't have to be scared of it because he has the best plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope. Plans to give you a future. So think about those things. Think about those things. Think about his prevenient grace. And if you haven't accepted him, do that or consider that. And if you have, are you growing with him? Are you allowing him to work the growth in you? Are you surrendering? As the worship team comes forward, it'd be my honor to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And I know this was a lot today, but to lay the groundwork of this idea of sanctification, which we're going to dive into deeper week by week over these next few weeks, Lord, this overview, I pray, Lord, that people will keep their map, that they will process this more, and Lord, that they would get involved in the reading plan that goes along with this series, so that they can hear from you, not to check something off a list, because we saw today, it's not about what we do and don't do to earn anything. It's about relationship with you. So Lord, would the seeds of this message grow into deeper relationship with you, and the reading plan grow into deeper relationship with you, so we are more fully known and know you more fully. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.